How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are going to be talking about politics and football. So we're going to start with the football, as there's not really much football here to talk about. But the coaching carousel is moving right along.
Oh, God.
Yes. A lot of coaches have been fired and hired. I do believe 10 teams are now going to have new head coaches and new coaching staff. I know the Packers have been absolutely gutted. We lost our player, like president of player personnel to the Dolphins. He went there now he's like their GM, and we lost Jeff Hafley, our defensive coordinator. Which goodbye and good riddance. Honestly, I'm not a fan of Hafley's. You can ship him off. So the Dolphins have him now. He took the cornerbacks coach, I do believe, the linebacker coach. The Eagles, I do believe, hired our quarterback's coach as their offensive coordinator. It's the Packers got gutted. So I'm interested to see what happens next year with the whole new coaching staff. Now, Matt LaFleur did get extended. There was a story we talked about in which Adam Schefter, maybe, was talking about how potentially the Packers could trade him. But obviously that did not happen. I didn't figure it would. I mean, the Packers are pretty high on Matt LaFleur. And I think, honestly, rightfully so. I think Matt LaFleur might choke in the NFC games. But, it's always been not always been a defensive problem, I guess. But we've always had special teams problems. That much I can tell you. At least in my lifetime, a lot of it has been special teams problems. But anyways, the Browns did get a head coach. I don't know if I already talked about this, but Todd Monken is the Browns head coach. I do believe he was the Ravens head coach. No. Ravens offensive coordinator from 2023 to 2025. So he is going to be heading to the Browns. I don't know about that, honestly. I mean, you could have just stuck with Kevin Stefanski, in my opinion. I don't think he was bad. I think he had no offense, no quarterback. Your defense is absurdly overpaid to the point where you have salary cap problems. There were bigger fish to fry on the Browns than Stefanski. I think you could have given him a year or two to get the ship sorted out. But they got Todd Monken now. I don't think he's bad, by the way. I mean, the Ravens have a good offense and things like that. So I'm excited for the Browns, I guess. He also was a college coach, I do believe, but I don't know where. But I don't know that he can, write Cleveland. That's a big ship to right. They've been moving backwards for a while now. Now their draft class this year was very good in my opinion. I think the Dylan Gabriel was a little underwhelming. I was upset by Dylan Gabriel. Shadur also a little underwhelming, honestly. Joe Flacco did a lot better than I thought when he went to the Bengals. So I think they got rid of their best quarterback, but they had no offense. So there's that. Wide receivers are looking pretty rough. I'm big on Isaiah Bond, but he didn't get much playing time. He was an undrafted rookie, though, so that's understandable. But there, a lot of the defensive players that they drafted were good. I mean, Carson Schlesinger, I think, had most tackles by a rookie. But he's the middle linebacker, and I'm sure they had him on the field, all the time. So there's that. Also, the Buffalo Bills got their new head coach. They fired Sean McDermott, which I don't know which was a good firing either. Sean McDermott was a good coach. I think they scapegoated him a bit because they lost. I mean, Josh Allen might be the problem, maybe. Also, Josh Allen played a weird part in the head coach hiring because, he was part of the interview process for the coaching staff, which I don't know. I don't think that's great for the players to control the coaching staff. It kind of defeats the purpose. To some extent, it's backwards logic. But either way, With that being said, the Buffalo Bills hired Joe Brady, who was their offensive coordinator last year. So, I don't know. Buffalo's... it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, like I said, to fire Sean McDermott and then come along and then... You promoted somebody from the coaching staff, which you said was a problem. I mean, they said that coaching was a problem on the Bills. But, I mean, you know, the Bills have had an all right offense, I guess, so, you know, don't knock him till you, till you see what he can do, I suppose. I don't know. I think that John Harbaugh was probably very upset, though, when he found out that the Buffalo Bills job was coming open. I think, I don't know. I mean, I'm excited to see him at the Giants. I like the Giants. I like their roster as of currently. But sorry, I lost my train of thought. I don't know. I like the Giants. Oh, yes. I like the Giants roster right now, but I think Harbaugh's sad. That's where I was. Because the Bills job came open, and I think the Bills probably would have hired Harbaugh. Harbaugh just got a job in New York too fast at the wrong portion of New York. But nonetheless, I think that's the way it works sometimes. But the coaching hiring that I was most excited about is Mike McCarthy. Heading to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, I would like to say that I was hoping Aaron Rodgers retired. But, honestly, I think it would be pretty exciting for Aaron Rodgers to come back and have one last hurrah with Mike McCarthy as the Steelers head coach. You know, I mean, they obviously, Mike McCarthy was a longtime coach of the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers, obviously, a longtime quarterback of the Packers. They, you know, were there. I'm pretty sure Mike McCarthy was the coach for the entirety of Aaron Rodgers' career there, except the last, like, three or four. But, so no, I hope Aaron Rodgers stays another year. I hope that he, I hope that he gets another year with Mike McCarthy. But I don't know. I mean, he already said that this would be his last year in football, but I also don't think he expected Mike McCarthy to come and join the franchise he played for. So we shall see what happens there. I think he will probably sign a one-year contract and stay one more year with the Steelers. Now, the Steelers, I think, will need a good draft. I don't think that they have the team necessary to go to the Super Bowl right now. But I think they could get it done. I have a lot of faith in Mike McCarthy. I think Aaron Rodgers, if he truly wants this to be his last season of football, I'm sure he could put everything he's got into it. Well, I'm sure he has been, honestly. I mean, he's that kind of person. I don't think he's married either. I mean, Aaron... he's dated a lot of people. I mean, when he was at the Packers, I remember he dated Danica Patrick at one point, former NASCAR driver, which for some reason I just thought was interesting. But yeah, so Aaron Rodgers could stay another year to play with Mike McCarthy to play under Mike McCarthy at the Steelers. By the way, if you have anything that you'd like to say, feel free, 740-383-9944, 740-383-9944, the phone lines are open. But the Ravens hired Jesse Minter. He was the Chargers defensive coordinator. I don't know why they hired a defensive coordinator. I would have kept Harbaugh. There were a lot of coaching fires that didn't make a whole lot of sense, in my opinion. Like, Harbaugh was the most sought-after coach in the NFL the moment he got fired. You know, I don't know. Sometimes things just are confusing. But Harbaugh, like I said, was hired by the Giants in pretty short order, too. Halfley went to the Dolphins, like I said, which made a lot of sense considering John Eric Sullivan was hired as the general manager. But he was, I guess the last position he held was vice president of player personnel. So apparently he did very good at that because he's now GM. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know if we've talked about Robert Saleh yet, but he was the former head coach of the Jets. I don't think he did well at the Jets, but he coached the Jets, so he did better than, you know, you would think. But he was great at the 49ers, so I want to say he was the defensive coordinator at the 49ers when he was there. He was great at the 49ers. I think his last coaching stint was with the Titans. I do believe he was the defensive coordinator of the Titans after he got fired from the Jets. But yeah, so a lot of coaches, a lot of new teams. I don't know, I'm interested to see what happens this year. And I'm interested to see what the Packers do as far as the, you know, all their coaching vacancies. But yeah, I think that's it for the coaching carousel. If there's something else that's missing, I'm sure it's like one thing, one coach hiring, or something along those lines. But, as of currently, the Super Bowl is laid out to be the Seahawks versus the Patriots. It's going to be a rematch of, well, I mean, not exactly, because basically entirely different teams. But the Seahawks and the Patriots played in the Super Bowl, you know, a couple of times. And so this is going to be another one of those rematches. I'm rooting for the Seahawks. I hope my brother's team is the Patriots, so I hope the Patriots lose so I can hate on him. But also I really like a lot of the Seahawks players. I think the Seahawks, you know, killed the 49ers. They have one of the, I think they have the highest scoring defense in the NFL. JSN is the best receiver in the NFL. I'm a big fan of Kenneth Walker. Zach Charbonnet might still be hurt. I honestly don't remember. But Zach Charbonnet got hurt in the game against the 49ers. But he's very good when he's healthy. Yeah, so, you know, they got a lot going on over there for him. A.J. Barner, he's good. Yeah, so the Super Bowl's going to be exciting. Halftime show is still being a, is still a bit of a contentious thing. Also, apparently from ESPN here, from 5 hours ago, apparently the Seahawks, the according to some sources, the Seahawks will go up for sale after Super Bowl, what is that, 60, I think. League and ownership sources, yeah. So, I'm interested to see who buys the Seahawks. Because the last team I do believe that was sold was the Broncos, and Walmart bought it. So, I want, or the Walton family, I guess I should say, bought it for a lot of money. So I'm interested to see what happens if the Seahawks, you know, I don't know. I think if the I would be very upset if another corporation came along and bought the Seahawks. I don't think that's the way football should go. I think they should, I mean, there was a time when, like, wealthy fans would buy teams, which is, I guess, what the Waltons did. I mean, I think their son or something like that was a big Broncos fan, so they bought the team. Former players would buy teams, but I don't know that former players have enough money to buy teams now. I mean, Walmart bought the Broncos for billions of dollars. So I don't know. I just would hope that they don't sell to another corporation. But you know. Nonetheless, that's that. But the Super Bowl is coming up. Going to be February the 8th, always the second Sunday in February. Second Sunday. For some reason, I was thinking Monday, but yeah, no. Second Sunday in February. So that's going to be good. Also, there has still been a bit of, I mean, there's no, nothing's really been said all that much about it, but there's still been a little bit of talks about ice appearing at the Super Bowl. There were, I guess, when originally the Super Bowl was mentioned to have Bad Bunny there performing at halftime, there was an idea that ice would be at the Super Bowl. And there are still talks about that, but I don't know that ice will actually be there. I think it'd be pretty rough to have ice at the Super Bowl. I think the NFL would probably take a bit of a hit for that. But I guess we will find out as far as that goes. But I don't know. I was trying to see if there have been any other things, but no, I don't know about that. But either way, before I forget, by the way, I did want to mention that Groundhog Day is going to be this Monday. We're gonna have it at the studio, but depending on what the weather looks like, it might be inside. It starts at 8:15, so be sure to tune in. You can listen, www.wwgh1071.com at the bottom of the page, listen button. You can listen live on TuneIn. You can listen via most, if not all, smart devices. You can listen however you're listening now, obviously. But 8:15. We are going to start the broadcast. 8:45, the Groundhog will arrive to the studio. Bob Welsh will be coming down from Columbus that morning, and he will bring the Groundhog pizza and the Groundhog pizza under each one of the slices. 1 second, caller. Under each of the slices, there is going to be a slip that says either early spring or 6 more weeks of winter. Mary Ellen will sign it into fact, and yeah, Mary Ellen is going to sign it into fact, and Mayor Jack Kellogg, longest-serving mayor in Marion's history, is going to be there to potentially make Spam sandwiches, depending on what the weather, again, looks like. And he's going to be wearing his, after 19 years, by the way, will be wearing his Groundhog Day sweatshirt. The Salvation Army will be there. James Anderson will be there. We're going to have 3 groundhogs there, the current groundhog and 2 past groundhogs. So it's sure to be big. Make sure you tune in for that. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Matt, I heard that ICE is saying they're not going to be at the Super Bowl now. I think with the deaths in Minneapolis, they're afraid that, you know, people in the stands might be protesting them, and, you know, ICE might pull out the guns again and start shooting. So I don't believe they're going to show up to the Super Bowl now. But Kristi Noem, you know, quite a while ago said they were going to be there. So.
Yeah. I don't know that it would be great for ICE to show up at the Super Bowl. I think that'd be rather unpopular.
Well, especially with the killings going on, you know, in the last, and the revolt against Donald Trump. I mean, there's a lot of people there, and, you know, ICE is going to be outnumbered no matter how many they show up there. I guess they got 3,000 agents, but, you know, how many thousands are in that Super Bowl?
Well, I found an article from The Guardian from 2 days ago that says, according to U.S. Customs and ICE, you know, agents are expected to conduct immigration enforcement operations during next month's Super Bowl game in Santa Clara, California. Local officials confirmed to media that ICE is expected to deploy for the game between the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots.
Well, you know, I don't know if what I heard is, you know, true or not, but
oh, I found a quote from the mayor.
Show up there. There's too many things that could go wrong for them.
We have heard from the administration that they intend to have ICE at the Super Bowl. I do not know how much of that is rhetoric. And then that's where the quote ends. And then that's Matt Mahan, the mayor of San Jose.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see.
Well, I mean,
I don't think that's a place to do that.
No, I don't.
I don't know.
I mean, I think if you do that, you're almost infringing on a private business.
Right. Well, they go in people's homes and, you know, Minneapolis, they're going into employers, you know, down there. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of employer they are. You know, they're going right in there and snatching them. You know, they have no warrant for them. They just see that they're a little dark skin, and then they snatch them, and you better hope you got some ID on you, and they'll even listen to you and believe you.
Do you think that the shuffle of leadership in Minneapolis is going to have any change?
What do you mean the shuffle of leadership?
The current guy who's there has a title that was given to him that I guess isn't even a real title to the extent that it was given to him. Bovino, I think is his name, he's going to get shipped back down to the border and resume his old title, and then Donald Trump's border czar is going to come up to Minneapolis and take over command there.
Yeah, I've seen that.
You think that's going to make a difference?
No. They're doing what Trump wants, so I don't see...
Well,
the guy's just an scapegoat. Everybody's an scapegoat, you know. Trump ain't taking... You know, no heat for nothing.
I wouldn't go as far to say that Trump wanted the two people in Minneapolis shot.
Well, I don't think he wanted the two people in Minneapolis shot, but, you know, he's responsible for ICE, you know, getting in those situations. You know, wherever the protesters were, they should have tried to go somewhere else real quick and conduct their business, and until protesters show up there, possibly, then move somewhere else, because there's just too much stuff that's going to go wrong, like the last two shootings. You know, and you know those guys are trigger happy anymore, so...
Well, I wouldn't have put money on it, but I figured that there was a fair chance that seeing as the FBI basically shut down Minneapolis's investigation into it, that ICE would feel a bit emboldened. But I wouldn't have put money on it that it was going to be like another shooting or anything of that sort.
Yeah, I know. It's just a sad situation. That I'm all for criminals and, you know, stuff like that and illegals, you know, deported. But, you know, there's a way to go about doing it, too. That's just like, you know, in a lot of states, if they get involved in a high-speed chase, they have the license plate number of the car, you know. After a certain mile an hour, a certain point, they deem it as it's putting the public in too much, you know, harm's way, and they leave that person go, and they get him later. They pick him up later. You know, they don't have to cause a situation where, you know, innocent people get killed all the time. Now, California, they don't do that. They don't lay off, but... You know, a lot of police departments up here, you know, that's what they're doing anymore.
Well, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I think, you know, there's a reason for that, but, you know, if you committed a crime and you're trying to flee, you know, you need to get caught too, but you can get caught later. And they're not going to be on the... A lot of people have warrants, but they're not actively searching for them. If you get pulled over or something like that, and your ID's checked, and they, you know, have a warrant for you, they pick you up. But in a case where you flee the police and they laid off of you, they're going to be actively searching for you. They're not going to be waiting until you get pulled over again sometime.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of the times, like you said, if you get into a... like a police chase, I mean, they have your license plate. I don't, like, there's no real reason to continue pursuing them. You can just, I mean...
And
you,
maybe the...
You got their address with their license plate.
Holder wasn't the one that done it. But you are responsible for that car. Anything happens with that car, if you let somebody drive it or you let somebody use it to commit a crime or something like that, You are responsible for that car. If somebody's using it and they get parking tickets, you are responsible for the parking ticket. You know? So, that, to me, if somebody did that with my car and outrun the cops or something like that, and, you know, if they got a hold of me, I'd tell them who was driving that car, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you don't take up for your buddies in a situation like that. There's a little bit difference, you know. You get in a tussle at the bar and you jump in and help your friend, but, you know, you don't help your friend when he's done something that blatantly illegal.
Yes, I wouldn't recommend taking a charge for anybody.
No, it's not worth it.
What do you think about the arrest of Don Lemon?
Oh, that's just Trump going after, you know, anybody that, you know, speaks, you know, bad about their administration. You know, we've never had this precedent in any president that goes after their enemies like that and goes after them so blatantly, and so many people. And the public just don't seem to care.
Well, I don't think your average person really follows politics.
No, you know, not the average person. But, you know, I call in sometimes. I've been having trouble going to sleep and being able to wake up in the morning. So, you know, I haven't called in too much here in the last week or so. But I call in and try and point things out, and nobody, hardly anybody will, you know, speak out. And I've told them, you know, it's high time people speaks out. I give the number of the Capitol switchboard, you know. But then, you know, Perry calls in all the time, and it seems like he's okay with everything that happens. But he wouldn't be okay with it if it happened to him.
Well, I think more people
should. And
Perry's
a little sarcastic and bombastic and stuff. And, you know, he would be one of the first ones in Marion that, you know, the Trump administration would come after. Well, they would come after him because he's pro-Trump, you know, so. But it don't matter. I mean, when the Gestapo, you know, is going around, Perry's piddly shit to Donald Trump, so if he did get in trouble, he's not getting no pardon. Just like I'm condemning that Pettit guy for having a gun on him. Well, he never showed the gun, brought it out or nothing, but the January 6th riots, those guys had assault rifles and everything all over there, and Trump pardons those people, but yet they say Pettit shouldn't have had that gun. He was asking for trouble, but he was just legally carrying concealed. I mean, I think I would have left my gun at home just in case anything happened. I wouldn't have been accused of anything, but that, you know, that was his decision, but.
Also, apparently the administration has been taking voter rolls from places.
Yeah. They told Minneapolis they'll take ICE out if they turn over their voter rolls.
I don't think, this is why I don't think you should be giving the federal government access to things. I don't trust the government.
No.
I really don't.
Need access to it.
Yeah, what do they need? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not.
What does that tell you when they're asking for that? You know they're trying to go and use it to get an advantage out of it.
Well,
you know, they're trying to intimidate voters. And a lot of Hispanic voters aren't going to be wanting to show up there. A lot of Hispanic people in Minnesota are staying indoors as much as possible. They're quitting their jobs because they're afraid to go to work. I don't know. We're the laughing stock of the world. You know, of all of the countries in, you know, the United States, we're a laughing stock. Trump thinks he's respected around the world. They laugh and make fun of him and disdain him. The only ones that he can get along with is dictators. You know, Canada's completely, you know, doing away with us.
Well, speaking of Canada, by the way, I mean, as of recently, China signed, I guess it doesn't matter in which order you put it, but Canada signed a trade agreement with China. So, I mean, you know, us doing all the tariffs and things with that, we have drawn our closest allies closer to China.
Well, Trump turned around and threatened, I don't know if he did, about putting more tariffs on what little trade we're having with Canada because they did that trade deal with China. You know? A lot of times he threatens tariffs but don't go along with it. That's why they call him Taco, but I just can't believe, I never thought in my lifetime we'd ever see a president like Donald Trump or a president that gets by with everything Donald Trump does. It's unreal.
One second, going back to Don Lemon, do you think any charges are actually going to be filed against Don Lemon?
Against Donald Trump?
Don Lemon.
Oh, Don Lemon. Oh, they'll file charges, that way they can... They already did. That's why they arrested him.
Well, I mean, well, let me rephrase.
You don't get arrested without filing charges unless they are wanting you to detain you to...
I guess more...
See
I,
what you know, you know.
I guess I mean more like, do you think it's actually going to go anywhere? I mean, like, they you know, arrested Comey, and they arrested Letitia James, and...
But where did that go?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, do you think this is going to go just about as far as those went?
Oh, yeah. He's losing in courts. Even the Supreme Court, I guess there was a new ruling that was 6-3 in the Supreme Court. I forget exactly what that was. I seen it on YouTube news of the websites I follow that I know are legitimate. And I forget what that ruling was. But it was against Trump.
When was this?
It was just today I seen that.
Oh.
But I can't remember what the ruling was about. It was emergency decision held late last night or whatever.
Well, I haven't heard anything about that. I'll have to look into that at some point.
Yeah. I can't remember. It was either Midas Touch or one of those news organizations. With all political news, you know.
Yeah.
But,
Hey, did you hear Keith Faber?
Who?
Keith Faber.
Who's that?
The Auditor of State.
Oh, what about him?
He called in. He was in, he was on with, Scott in the first hour there.
Oh, really? Tonight?
Yes.
Oh, I missed it. I didn't...
Well, I'm sure Adam's going to have it up on the website by the time I'm done with this. So, I mean, you could always feel free to go listen to it after. But no, I mean, I'm sure Scott left the paperwork here. Let me see if I can't find it. But no, I mean, yeah, here it is. He wrote a couple articles in the Columbus Dispatch and, talking about The name of the one was Renee Good wasn't an innocent. I won't tolerate lawlessness as Ohio's Attorney General. And the other one is named Tuning Down the Rhetoric, a Call for Civility and Accountability. Those were written by Keith Faber. He said that basically just for to quickly dial it back here. He said basically that because one of the people running against him for Attorney General, because he's running for Attorney General, one of the people running against him for Attorney General, the Democratic candidates, said that he would kill Donald Trump in the... I don't have the full quote here. I'd have to find it in the paperwork. But basically, he said that he would kill Donald Trump, but then we said... But he also mentioned in, like, the same video that when he says that he will kill Donald Trump, he means that, like, he will convict him in a court of law with a jury of his peers with, you know, a substantial amount of evidence and, like you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I'm sure they're questioning him over it. Anytime anybody makes a remark like that...
Yeah, I mean... And
there's a very good chance of...
I would like to say...
But service coming down investigating you.
The... Amy Acton has denounced what he said, and as well as there's an attorney... There are two Democratic people running for Attorney General, or two Democratic candidates running for Attorney General, the one also denounced what he said.
He knew better than to say something like that.
Yeah, I mean...
But that's bringing a lot of attention to him that he wouldn't have got else, you know, unless he said something like that.
But,
they say there's no such thing as bad publicity, even bad political, however you want to say that word, you're seen, you know, people's talking about you, you know, even if it's bad, you know, it can help you.
Well, I was trying to find the quote here, but the state chair of the Ohio Republican Party said, I called him, something and delusional, and then also Vivek Ramaswamy's campaign said that basically this is what the Democrats endorse,
See? Turn down the rhetoric, right?
Well, now... He did. I mean, he. Scott asked Keith Faber about the the comments made by the chair of the Republican Party in Ohio and Vivek Ramaswamy, and he for the chair of the Republican Party, he said something along the lines of that he was sure that he was being hyperbolic. I mean, basically, that was he's sure that he was being hyperbolic. And when asked about the comments Vivek made about how this is what the Democrats endorse, he said that, you know, he's going to leave that up to Vivek and his people to defend. So, you know, turn down the rhetoric. And he called on Amy Acton to denounce what, for some reason, I can't remember this man's name. His first name is Elliot. I remember that much. But she denounced what he said as far as the comments about, you know, killing Donald Trump. In the courtroom.
Yeah, I've heard about that, but I'd hate to see political violence, but I don't see how Trump's still alive. I don't.
Well, I don't.
There was two attempts on his life.
Yeah.
And he's so unpopular now. And he's hurting so many people that just can't pay their health care premiums. If he walked down any... I think if he walked down the street in Marion, he'd get killed. If he didn't have that Secret Service, and if he went walking through Minneapolis or Portland or Los Angeles or something, and people knew it was him, they'd kill him.
I really hope not. You know, I would hope
otherwise. You'll never see him walking down the street by himself. You know, he's always got his goons with him, but...
Well, even if I saw him walking down the street by himself, I mean, I don't want anything bad to happen. I just don't want the man to be president. I don't like what he's doing. I don't want anything bad to happen to the man, really.
Well...
Political, I mean, I'm not a fan of, you know, violence in general is bad. I mean...
I don't want to see political violence. But if Donald Trump would get killed, it wouldn't bother me at all. The only thing that would bother me about it is they're going to come back blaming it all on the Democrats. And when you get right down to it, it's going to be a right-winger that you pissed off, and they're killing you. There hasn't been... Of all these threats and stuff against people, I don't see... And the two people that shot him and the people that committed, I think it was Minnesota or someplace, they killed a couple up there. I think she was, I don't know, she was in their government or something like that. But none of it's been the Democrats. It's just like Trump saying, those protesters, they're paid agitators. You know how much it costs to pay all those people to be out there protesting? The only one that could afford that would be, what's that damn richest guy in the world?
Elon Musk?
You know, those people aren't paid. You know, Donald Trump, you know how to tell if Donald Trump's lying?
How's that?
He moves his mouth. Anytime he moves his mouth, he's lying. Yeah, you know. To me, a liar is the same thing as a thief.
Well, I mean, I don't know as far as maybe, but I do think that once you've lied to me once, I can't trust anything you said. Now you could be lying to me every time.
Right. And if a person has a gall, that much gall to lie to you, they're going to have that much gall to steal from you when your back's turned if they can too. And then if you confront them about it, well, I don't know nothing about it. I didn't do it. You know? And you can see it in their face. You know, when they're telling you that, you know they're lying. And you know they was the only one that had the opportunity to do that. I mean, a liar is also a thief. You know, it's hand in hand. But I'm not going to lose any sleep with Donald Trump. You know, something happens to him, but I would just rather see him pass away from the problems he's having now.
I would hope that political violence doesn't become normal. Be a sad day.
Yeah, political violence don't solve anything. You know, that person that shot Charlie Kirk, you know, did that solve anything? I mean, it's nice we don't have to listen to him now. But now we have his ex-wife is out there being in the news all the time. I mean, if it wasn't Charlie Kirk, it's his wife.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there were a lot of people that liked to listen to what Charlie Kirk had to say.
Oh, yeah, there was. But what did Charlie Kirk say? Charlie Kirk wasn't immune to saying, you know, talk about black people and all that and saying, you know, that they ought to be killed and everything like that. That's the kind of rhetoric he spewed.
Well, I listened to a lot of Charlie Kirk, and I don't know that I ever heard him say that they should be killed or anything. I mean, I know that he was, like, pro, like, immigration enforcement and, like, things of that sort.
All he said, you know, there's people, you know, that need killed and stuff. I bet you Terry Klein listens to that dude. You know, but Donald Trump supporters, they like hearing that.
Well, it's been nice talking to you, but I got about 45 seconds to wrap this thing up.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Talk to you next week, maybe.
Yep. Thank you. Bye. Alrighty, well, I appreciate everybody for listening, as always. Remember, Groundhog Day this Monday starts at 8:15. Groundhog is going to get here at 8:45. Bob Welsh will be here with the Groundhog Pizza. The Groundhog, who is the Groundhog, by the way? That's always the big question. The Groundhog is going to grab a piece of pizza. Under the pizza is going to be a prediction. It'll be signed into fact by Mary Ellen Withrow. Jack Kellogg is going to be there wearing his Groundhog Day sweatshirt after 19 years coming out of retirement, possibly making Spam sandwiches depending on what the weather looks like. Bound to be a great day. Listen live 24/7. Thank you for listening, and have a nice night.
Like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how